I'm Dada, Ishoba King. This is Nigerian Hustle. Welcome to 2023, everyone. How are you, my friend?
I'm really super good, and we're glad that our introduction is short, succinct, and direct. But I actually miss the jibe that you used to give to the areas and the people that we want to talk to. Those are our personal and very friendly jibes.
Yeah, the short intros might be temporary. You never know. All right, so today we are talking to a TV director with more than 14 credits to his name.
As
content director or director, you know, whatever the difference is. He's been a director on shows you would know, such as Big Brother Naija, Project Fame, Nigerian Idol, and most recently, The Real Housewives of Lagos. He's the content director of Ultima Studio Limited. Jide Ali, welcome to the Nigerian Hustle.
Yeah, thank you, my brother.
Do you have to do that voice? No, do you really have to do that voice?
Yeah. Okay, let me correct something. Not for Ultima, because I don't. Yeah, I don't work for Ultima. I just did stops with them years back.
Got you. Well, okay. Your LinkedIn profile still says so, you're a content director for Ultima.
Go and change that LinkedIn profile.
Oh, it says so. Maybe it's because I've not been so active on it, so it's been.
Oh well, yeah, you and me both. Anyway, so.
Well, you're right to say, because I'm still family, you know. I don't think we're still family.
Cool. So, I've always been fascinated by reality TV. I don't watch a lot of it, but I'm always intrigued by the idea of it. And what trips me the most is the kind of followership you get from reality shows. And so I'm always curious as to why do we care about strangers' lives so much to want to watch them crash and burn on TV? Like what's so fascinating about other people's lives that keeps us glued to the, you know, to the screen?
Okay. Well, for me, as a content director, I would say, you know, it's a human, it's the human nature. You know, as human beings, we are always interested in other people's affairs. You see, we always want to know what's happening to the closest neighbor. You want to know how your friend is faring. You want to know what is happening around you. So with a reality show, it's more like tapping into that human angle nature, which is we're interested in how people live their lives. People that we are not used to, people that we don't know, or you want to know what happens in their lives. So that's more reason why it's called reality TV show.
Basically, what you're saying now is that we're all global rules in context.
You can say that. You know, the Gbeboro nature of every human being is especially to us Nigerians, and especially to Africans, we live as a community. So we don't live the kind of life the Western people, me, my wife, or me and myself alone. We are communal in our style, in our lifestyle. So if you, just like they said, that a child is being raised
by the community.
So you can say that I'm interested in my neighbor's affair. It's not because it's even the Gbeboro, you know, idea of it. But it's more like caring for my fellow human beings. But in the context of the reality show, it is more like, okay, people now look at this and say, let's develop formats that you are exposing other people's lifestyle, living condition, secrets in some cases, to others to see and have an opinion for themselves or an interest in their way of life. So reality shows is more of looking into that angle of human life. And for Africans, we enjoy it.
Right, but this is not the same as just observing animals in the wild, for example, right? Like, if you're it's not like you're on a safari and you're just watching lions be lions and zebras be zebras and them tearing each other apart, and just you're not distant from what's going on the show, right? There's a little bit of tinkering there. And so how much do you stand back and watch versus influencing the directive of a narrative there?
Yeah, I was going to say that, you know, reality show is not, let's say, it's not as reality as reality. It's a guided reality, because at this point now we're talking about it being a form of entertainment. So if it's a form of entertainment, then it now needs to be guided. More reason why you have content directors like us, why you have the show directors, aka the series directors, you know. So it's a whole lot when a format is put together, and it's also guided by a format, really. It's not just throwing people out there and say live your lives. It is more like you're living your life. We're interested in your story, we're interested in your personality, we're interested in your character. More, if I can say again, these people you call the character or the cast in the reality shows only show us what they want us to see, tell us things they want us to know about their reality. They also create a reality within the reality show.
So are you saying now there's a multiverse in every human being, or in these characters that come?
You can say so, because for us as content directors, our duty is to also, that is why if you notice from the series of reality shows, our duty is to create or guide the characters in such a way that you don't even have similar characters as human beings. You look for the guy who is the one who is temperamental. You get the guy who is a lover boy. You get that one that is just like a nerd. You have, so it's guided in such a way that you are pulling people's reality as individuals, and also tapping into their different human characters. So there's a lot to it when it comes to it as a show. That is why it is a reality show.
Mm. It's like when my mother wants to cook a rich soup, and there's a pomo, there's a eja, there's a de, the yuru, boro, pete, you know? So that's what you all mix together.
Yes, you can say that.
Well, this is the question. How are you able to identify these characters at the point where you're shooting, at the point of selection?
Yeah.
But before then, you said you are a content director.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned that there's a series director. What did you mention?
Yeah, so for me, I started as a content director. So in the days of Celebrity Takes Two, Mortar Guinness, Street Dance Africa, Project Fame, I started up as a content director. But in between the lines, or as the year went by, I got the opportunities to now stand in the position of a series director. So the series director is like the overall commander in charge of the series itself, the show.
Okay, show itself.
Yes. So, but every show has their format. There are some that the series director is also / content director. So he's in charge of the content and he still guides the series. But in a bigger context like the Big Brother, the Big Brother has a series director. I acted in the position of a content director, and Big Brother has over 10 content directors because the Big Brother format is a bigger one. So, and there are shifts. So you need a large number to control, and it's also a 24-hour show. So you need to take turns in managing and monitoring the contents of the show.
Making sure
when you say there are shifts, in the context of Big Brother, how does that work?
Okay, so in the context of Big Brother, I can tell you categorically that on Big Brother, I only work like 3 times in a week.
Wow.
Because the format is structured in such a way that you have time to unwind and also... So if I say there's a shift, it means that is it 12 hour shift in a day. If I'm on a 12 hour shift, I do 3 hours in the MCR where I sit in front of over 50 monitors.
Wow.
And I monitor the contents that are going on in every space within the house. And I work with technical directors that I would tell, oh, go to the kitchen based on what I see. If I see that there's an interesting conversation or activity or scenario going on with between Dilly and myself, then I call the attention of the technical director, who will talk to the cameras around that region and say, go to the kitchen and give me so and so talking or doing some certain things there. And in front of me, I also monitor, I have an audio monitor of all the contestants in the house. So I can hear them. I can unmute some and to hear who is talking. So we monitor. It's a multitasking content for Big Brother. You monitor the audios of every contestant. If they are 16, you are listening to them. You are pointing to who you want to see. You can see what they are doing within the monitors. And you see that, oh, I think these two people are talking about something. Let me listen to them. You mute every other person. You talk. You listen to them. If you are interested in their conversation, you talk to the technical director and say, give me, go to the kitchen. He punches to the kitchen. And that is what the viewers at home see at every point in time. So it is the content that I see, that I serve to the people, the content that I found interesting, the content that I see that can make your day, that's the one I push out. So within that time, other activities are going, but it is what the content director wants you to see that it pushes out at that time, because it's a 24 hours, you know, activity.
It's really work.
So you do 3 hours in the MCL. You take a 3 hours to go to the edit suite. Whatever story, because you know, for Big Brother, there are also dailies. Whatever story you are able, because we have an ingesting system that also stores those things that you have thrown out to the world. So in the next 3 hours, another person takes the shift in the MCL. You go to the edit suite and you go and cut like a unit of the most interesting part of that, your 3 hours. You cut them in bits and you throw them into the system and you create your edit notes. For another content director who is in charge of the edits, that will be working with the editor, he goes into your story and he now picks the ones that he feels that are much more interesting and pick some minutes of it and work with the editor. So from my shift and the shift of the next person, and the shift of the next person, there's another content director that now builds those content for the 30 minutes dailies highlight that goes on air every night. So aside the 24 hours, which is live, we also control and guide contents for daily highlights.
So it's basically, it's a chocolate factory. Nobody is sleeping.
So in your 12 hours, you're not sleeping. But after your 12 hours, you have a day off to go on. You come back in another 24, 48 hours and do the same. So pretty much for Big Brother, it's an interesting structure and an interesting format, you know.
Now, are you involved in the auditions for the shows like Big Brother?
Okay, so for Big Brother, we are not involved in the audition process. The audition process are handled by the series director and the producers of the show. We come on when they have pre-selected the top finalists that are coming into the house.
Got it. So I want to go back to the nature of reality shows and the way people act.
Okay.
And you have enough experience to understand how people present themselves in front of a camera.
Yeah.
Whether it's their real nature or they are putting it on. In a case like Big Brother, do people, in your opinion or in your experience, do they act differently when the cameras are not in their face? Because these cameras are essentially, the cameramen are not inside the Big Brother house, correct?
They are inside the building, but there's a window that separates them from the living area.
Right. And so basically, they are not the ones holding the camera to
people's face. They're not in the living area.
Exactly, right? And so that creates, after a while, you know, if you're in a place where, okay, there are security cameras, for example, right? Maybe you're cautious the first, I don't know, day or two or a couple of hours. But after a while, it just feels like it's part of the furniture, right? Do people act differently when the camera is not directly in their face than when there's a cameraman standing there all the time? I guess what I'm asking is, do you feel like people evolve or do people unfold into their natural selves when there's a sense that there's not one guy there recording them?
Okay, so the point is that there are more robotic cameras than manned cameras.
Mm-hmm.
The robotic ones are also controlled within the MCR. They are the ones in the living area. The manned cameras are the ones by the windows. So what happens is the contestants, they know, or the housemates, they know that the windows are on the other side. There are cameras there. And they're also aware that the moving heads, the robotic ones, are, because the point is the robotic cameras, once you pan it, it moves. And most of them, sometimes, some, with time, ignore it. But in their first week, everybody is conscious of the fact that they are here for a living. They are here to compete. They are here to also make or to be relevant. So what they do is, and because they have watched the show over the years, they know that you need to, that is why most of them will say, so you want to give highlights, Abby. So it means that if you are dramatic, if you have a character that just brings attention to your fellow contestants. Like I said earlier on, as a content person in the MCR, if I see that you are giving me what the world will like or will be interested in, I definitely would punch to the camera within that zone. So they know, for some, it starts with, oh, the cameras are here. Let me make an impact. But for 72 days, you can't be conscious of the camera. So when it gets to the second week, they're already living with the cameras. Some of them already they are living their natural lives.
But so they throw away the manners and become
they throw away the manners and become for some, they don't throw away the manners. They live their lives and naturally, if that's the way they live, naturally it will attract our attention. So it's not most times that they have to stage that, oh, I am dramatic or I want attention. Some of them, it's just their life. Like, I can't tolerate this. I can't. So the moment that happens naturally, we'll go for it. So it is more like you can't fake it for 72 days. You can fake it for the first second week. But with time, it becomes a natural living.
Okay, so one thing I've always... how do you, for instance, I've seen a couple of people that show where, especially, I think the last one or two editions, I can't remember, where this guy was brought into the house and he had to leave after a while because of his mental health state. How do you evaluate people? How are you able to judge them? How do you know that they are fit to be in the house? And over time, how do you know that, this one has to go?
Yeah, just like I said, that, you know, the audition process for Big Brother, there are several stages even before you get into the house.
Mm-hmm.
There's a stage where after scaling through your submission and you are selected, there are stage where they do a psychological analysis or check on you. There are times where they now do an isolation
test,
like they put them in a house, and for 3 weeks before the show begins, you are living alone. You don't have access to your phone. So that's a pre housing for you, because you are coming into the Big Brother house where the only time you see the outside world is either when you're evicted or, yeah, it's only when you're evicted. You don't get to come outside that house. You can, the only time you see fresh air is when you go to the garden, their open area. So it is, you can't just pull people from the real world, put them in a closure, and you, so you need to evaluate their mental health. So they do like a pre, like a riaza before the main, you know, Big Brother house, put them in a room for 3-4 weeks, like a month before you come, before the show starts. So what that means is that they are also evaluating how you can survive alone, how you can manage that loneliness.
Lonely.
You understand? So they take your phone away from you. They take, the only thing you don't watch TV. The only thing they do is they give you food, and there's a chaperone. If you need anything, you just talk to that person, and that person relates to the management. So there is that process. And after that process, there is still also medicals, just to be sure that you are
physically
fit, you know. So all those checks are in place before you get into the house.
So basically now, basically a Big Brother contestant that we get to see on TV is likely to have been away for close to 3 months.
Not likely. They've been away for
3 months in yellow phone.
You understand?
3 months. I won't. Well, actually, funny enough, it's funny in the sense that I guess when it becomes a lot of people can be in that situation without knowing that they are being in that situation. But I have a feeling that when it becomes concentrated for a purpose, then people become more aware of it. Take for instance, I may not put on my TV for at home for well over a month, sometimes much more than that, up to the point that I started giving my decoders away because I'm like, what am I using it
for? But you still have your phones.
Yeah.
You still listen to music.
So wait, they will not listen to music in that 3 weeks?
No music, see. Probably the only thing they have is the Bible.
If they are Christians.
Can I get other books?
Can I get books?
No other books.
No pen, no
it
paper.
It is isolation. No pen, no paper. It is just you. Wake up, sleep, eat. Do whatever you want to do to yourself. And so if you can survive that, then it means that if you come to the house, if you eventually make it into the Big Brother house and you are living with other strangers, it is, you have passed the, it's just like recruiting for the military. You know what they take you through? The drills. So you escape the drills, and you, if you get admitted into the academy, then you have passed the most difficult part of it. So if you have scaled through that process, it means that the Big Brother house is just like, okay, now I have people to talk to. Now we can do weekend parties. Now, you know, we can do activities. But you have survived that loneliness of being alone.
Okay, thank you for this information. I am now not going to be tempted to open the Big Brother page. I've always been tempted year by year to say, let me even try and fill this form. I don't want to fill that form again. I'm going to be honest with you. That first 3 weeks is actually worse than being in the house.
Yeah. I mean, in the modern day, being cut off from everything and people, and that's basically as close to incarceration as you, imprisonment as you can get.
It is actually incarceration. It's just that I'm not, I'm not just saying, I'm only playing this one for a price.
No. Yeah. That's the point. It is the price at the end of the day that keeps them, you know, like, if you know that at the end of this, the chance of you getting a 50 million cash prize at the end of 3 months, you can't, I don't see that job that you work for and you'll get paid for doing nothing. They'll feed you, they'll clothe you.
And you feed them well.
Feed them well. Like, so, and you live your life the way you want to live it. You make friends, you, in some cases, you make, you build relationship with
in the house.
In the house,
the challenge I have is that 3 weeks solitary confinement. Thank you for the info.
That's the drill. It's not, it's good. It's good for the mental wellness of that individual, because, and it's good for the show too. If you don't pass that, it means that if you are thrown into the deep sea, you might not survive it. But if you survive that, it means that you can. So
So in your experience, the people who have won this Big Brother Niger, for example, are the people who win shows like this, how much of it is them just being themselves and how much of it is being tactical? I don't know if that's the right word, but how much of it is more natural than put on?
You know, as individuals, some of us are good actors. And as human beings, you can't evaluate how much it is that. I can say that from experience, it's 50-50 for some, because most of them will tell you that they don't have a game plan. Forget it. Everybody has a game plan.
I don't have a game plan. It's the game plan.
It's the game plan. You understand? When White Money won, you know, he was more in the kitchen and he felt like, okay, if it can be relevant in the kitchen and he will stick to it and he stuck to it. And at the end of the day, some didn't like it. Some liked him for it. He won.
One HOA even moved him out of the kitchen, banned him from the kitchen.
You know, that would have been a strategy for him. And I can tell you that in real life, he might not be a kitchen person. He might not even be the one cooking for himself.
But luckily for him, based on some of the background research that we background info that reached the streets of Twitter and co.
Yeah.
I think he had a restaurant at some point, or at least had a place where he cooks for people at Ojo Elegba. So, you know, he was really quite popular around that area. I think he worked as a barber at some point. And I could remember also that, what's his name now? I met this person while I was still working with TV. Who actually he modeled for free of charge. The only thing he told the bros was, bros, just give me the clothes. Just give me clothes. Not the clothes model, but just give me clothes. And the person came back online and said, look, for this one, I will go the extra mile because of so and so. I mean, so it's done a lot of things.
Those were life puzzles for him. Those were survivor, you know. Coming into a game, you know, that would have worked against him.
How?
In the sense that I would say he was fortunate that the viewers outside sympathized with the fact that this man would always submit himself to the kitchen, especially the female species. They are the ones watching this these shows. So he caught their sympathies. He caught the attention with that and they fell in love with him. And when it's time to vote, they always vote for him.
They even beg us to vote too.
You understand? So for him, that's a strategy and it worked for him. For some, they might feel like, okay, coming into the house and build a relationship and stick to a girl or just play around the girls, and they can work for you or against you. You understand? So everybody has a strategy. Some, nobody live their life the way they live it outside. You would re-strategize because you don't live like that in the real world. So I would say it's a 50-50 thing. You come in with one form of strategy, or you come in and you say you don't have a strategy. The moment you get into the house, you are unconsciously building one to survive within that space.
Look, before you go home the second week.
You know, before you go home, because you now get to know that if you are too quiet, it means that you are not calling for attention. If you are not involved, it means that you are not playing the game the right way. So in one way or the other, you need to be involved with someone, with some activities, or just get the attention.
Now, this is not supposed to be something that I want to believe this is not supposed to be so. But do you, year in, year out, when the show comes up, do you, as content directors, do you have your own favorites that you always root for and be like, but boy, that guy, that girl should, you know, go away or something?
Let me not lie to you, we usually have favorites. But because of the SOP for the show, for us, is you can't stay on a contestant for more than 4 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. Except there is no other. Except everybody is gathered within that space. There's no other place you have to go to. That is why you see that if you're watching Big Brother, sometimes an interesting conversation is going on and all of a sudden we just turn into somebody that is just sleeping.
See, the amount of people, the number of people that normally curses, get angry
with Kayode, the series producer. He's the one that bears the.
You just come. I've been trying to remember that name. You just come online and then you see. Which one? What is Kayode doing this afternoon?
Yeah,
because they give me my nengi. Kayode give me my liquor. Kayode give me my white money. Kayode give me my pere.
Because you know, for us, that's the standard. More so that you don't give too much attention to a particular contestant.
And too much publicity.
So that you spread the focus.
You share the love.
Even when someone is sleeping, for us, it is content. If you're sleeping and you're doing nothing, that's why you just see us cut to somebody that is just sitting alone and. At that point, that is content for him. That is his time. So we have that at the back of our mind that you can't stay to max 4 minutes on a particular situation or contestants or individuals, depending on what they are saying. Except everybody is gathered within that space.
Like when they stay in
and
the
you can't
lounge,
go into
in
yeah, and you can't go into an empty space. That's when you are stuck to them, you know. But that's why you would see that even if you have a favorite, you are guided by that, so you can't favor anybody on your shift.
So at the end of the day, you have Lanod. You have to follow precisely.
You have to follow. That's it, my brother.
But how does it feel? I mean, when you see contestants do something, and you're like, do you get agitated in the MCR? Like, why are you doing this? What's wrong with you? Do you guys get agitated? What's your conversation like?
It's reality. So,
if we put another camera there, we get another reality show from your reality.
Definitely. Because we also react to whatever it is that they're doing. Like, for us, you know, because we are also human, so we are. And we are privy to
everything.
So within our own space too, we have our own argument. We have our own little, no, why is this guy? You know, we also will talk to like this guy now. This guy that, imagine during Toby's time, that Toby follows, I'm like, leave this guy alone. You see this guy following this girl for no reason and the outside world is bothered like, and we can see that it's not acting, because the point is, at that point, he's living his life. He doesn't have access to other human beings. This is this particular girl that's...
What a like
girl. He wants to create a strategy around this girl. He likes this girl. And the girl too feel like, oh, maybe my strategy is just to keep this guy hungry and don't give in to him until... You understand? So everybody has their ways that they play the game, basically.
It's really fascinating, though, that normally, when you are playing a game, at least you are getting feedback and knowing whether your strategy is working or not. But in this context, you have no idea.
Cozy feedback.
Wouldn't that do their head in? Like, would they just be like, I don't know if this is working or if it's not, so, you know, I just go with it.
The only way they think that is working is when you find yourself in the probation list and at the end of the day, you are not evicted. You feel like maybe you're doing something right for the world to still keep you on the show. You know, so for some of them, they feel like, oh, I've been placed on probation, I've been nominated for eviction, and they keep saving me. Is it because, like the last season now, you can tell from Fina and Groovy, you can feel like, oh, is Groovy, did Groovy stay that long because he was in a relationship with Fina? Or did Fina win because she was being plain and sincere with her relationship with him? So you never can tell. I don't know if they are still together now in the real world, but she stuck to the fact that she liked the guy. And the guy too probably liked her back, or he felt like this girl Fina got the most nomination and she was saved all the time and she won.
She get people,
you know, so
are people go save me?
And I never thought that she felt like the world was liking her for that. And we are funny too, as audience, we just choose to like our own. the street could relate to her. They felt like this girl is playing it plain. She's not pretending to be Tush when she's from the trenches, if I'm allowed to use that word. You understand? So, but that worked for her. So you can't say most times. It is just unlock sometimes too. For me, personally, I think it's more of luck. It's just how you resonate with the outside world, your personality, the favor that you carry. You saw when Lekon won. Lekon, at some point during the show, was not relevant. I mean, he was not seen as a contender.
A contender for the crown.
For the crown.
I was actually about to mention Lekon because when it started, it was the smallest. He was the one that looked like the proper trenches guy. It's as if he was imported from the trenches to just be the odd one out. He doesn't have the kind of, but I mean, you can look at all the guys, the physique there. They are the modern day epitome of what a fine boy should.
He had nothing that you could hold on him as the.
I mean, it doesn't have the celebrity package, the modern celebrity package. But I think the moment, I don't know what happened. Everything, the momentum just changed.
Just changed.
And when the momentum changed, the fact I think for me personally was I had never been invested in Big Brother before and after than I was with Lekon set because of Lekon. And then the moment I now found out, everyone was like, ah, the guy's rap, he rap, he does, you know. So they were selling his music on the streets. Out of curiosity, may I go check what he didn't get for YouTube, you know? And I wasn't really rooting for him. No, I think, or was it when he had that clash with this
Erica?
Erica. So that made me like, why do they abuse this guy now? So when I went to check his music, there's one particular one that I saw. The one he did, which is a feature with Yusuf Kombay. And I, oh, baby, well, you make me. I can't sing. Don't worry, I can't sing to save my biscuit. But that song is a feature with Yusuf Kombay. It featured Yusuf Kombay. And I really loved him. And I looked at all his discography and I'm like, let us push this boy now. This boy looks like he has content. And I started asking people to go and listen to his song. And at some point, I was like, wait, Dewey, this is not you. What's your business with Lekon? I've never met him. After Big Brother, but the fact that he had that much discography and, you know, somebody was bullying him, I felt he was being bullied.
What would you call that? That's just favor.
Favor.
From nowhere, he just...
And people started shouting, Lekon, Lekon, Lekon.
And he got over a million followers even before, while he was on the show. You know, that was a record for him. What people would pay to...
What people pay influencer.
You know, he got it within 2 months or thereabouts, and eventually won from nowhere. So what would you call that? I don't even think it was his music that helped him. He was not even known for the music in the house. It was after he left, or when people started talking, Lekon, Lekon, that's like you said, people start doing background checks on him.
And then the fact that he vibed, I think his relationship with, what's his name, Kidwire. That's one particular one that I really love. When they sat and it was just vibing and freestyling, that also trended and social media fell in love with him. And which brings me to that understanding when you're talking about the fact that you won't give highlight. I think he gave highlights with his talent. He was just doing his thing. Boredom could make you do silly things. And they were eating. And I love Kid Bayer's highlights. Where there's one particular one that became a meme for some time when people were arguing and he was just eating.
I want to pivot a little bit into one of the more recent things we're doing. Real Housewives of Lagos.
Okay.
Oh God.
that's real.
Okay. So are there substantial differences?
That was as real as it could be.
Are there substantial differences from, I guess, big, from production perspective,
big,
perspective
big,
between?
Big, yeah.
Big, so big, I big guess difference. What I'm looking at is, and you can go into the larger context. But the context I'm thinking of is contestants in shows like BB Niger and, I don't know, Project Fame and all that, they're relatively unknown, right? And so they gain their fame on the show. in the case of the Real Housewives of Lagos, they're already established. Some of them are already pretty famous and all of that. From a production perspective, are there any key differences there? And what are the other differences that you see between shows like that?
Okay, so for Real Housewives of Lagos, you can tell that they are not contestants. They are cast. We refer to them as cast because they're already established. They are known. They are bringing their lifestyle. Their lifestyle is actually the show. The Real Housewife in the context of it doesn't really mean that they are housewives. It just means that you portray those qualities that a housewife would. You don't need to work for yourself. People are working for you, or your money is working for you, or your husband is doing the work, or your boyfriend is doing the work. All you just do is live the life. So for Big Brother, it is more of an ordinary Nigerian or an ordinary man being come
and also
and win. And for the Real Housewife, they're not winning anything.
And all that drama,
they're not winning anything. They are only enjoying their lives and in glams, more likely luxury. So the whole idea of the Real Housewife is, let's see how you flex. Let's see how you live your life as a made woman. So the only thing is, they are guided too. What they are guided by is the activities that they do per week, because these are busy people. So you can't just go with the crew and say, we want to film you. So we have a timetable to say, this week, tell us what you're doing, how you're doing it, and who would come and film it.
I have a question, though. Do you guys deliberately research their crisis point or what? Because those crises, some of the things we see on the Real Housewives, some of them we don't even know in public. It just comes, boom, and then voila starts.
You know, for them, because of their characters too, and because they are women, where you have 1, 2, 3 women come together,
they will come for you.
They will come. And so there's that pride, there's that ego, there's that woman thing. Like, am I richer than you? Am I more famous?
Is my husband finer? Is my husband, you know, richer?
Fashion is also part of it. Who dresses more? When it's time, they usually have their. You know, every episode usually brings them together. At the end of every episode, they must have a meeting, like a gathering. One of them has to host.
Yeah.
So for that hosting, the idea is to have them come together and also show their fashion, their accessories, and also spite the other woman with whatever it is that whatever weapon that no. you want to bring to the table. So it's a competition, not for money. It's a competition for
ego.
For ego.
For pride.
For pride. For who is the most. You need to call for attention. Like, amongst these women, I can't appear today to be the weakest or the. No. I should be the talk of
the time. This episode is all mine.
So that's,
I own the show.
That's what the Real Housewives is.
Let me gist you about the Real Housewives of Lagos.
Yeah.
I will never forget this episode and Annie Two-Face. And this, I can't remember this other lady who had met Two-Face in it. Two-Face made a video call, I think.
No, that's not the Real Housewives. That's Young Rich and.
Oh, that's Young Rich Famous. Yeah. I'm trying to remember the Real Housewives. That's one that had.
That's Tony. Yabo Ojo.
No. Let's leave the drama of that one.
Lara Ikeji.
The drama. Why is that? How do you generate that beef in that one?
No, you don't. We don't generate it. The point is, we sense it. I don't want to say that. We sense it. But content producers, we guide it. In such a way that we let it
evolve.
We let it evolve.
No, not evolve. We let it ooh.
you know, you just blow it, like you let it flame up, like follow up on it, and you don't allow it to die. So once you sense it, you, especially in their diaries, that's when you throw questions that would prompt.
They will not carry the reaction.
They will not carry the reaction and to the meeting and say, eh. So.
So you basically light the fuse and let them.
No, we're just doing our job. We just follow the content, basically. We don't tell them what to do. We don't tell them what to say. They say what they feel like because it's a free word. But from what they're saying, that's where the contents evolve from.
Right, so, but I imagine that if I already have an ego, right?
Yeah.
And you're telling me, it looks like that person is wearing a nicer necklace than you are.
Voila.
All right. It's just simple commentary, you know, just simple observation. But then you have basically welled up that beef, that pride in me to act accordingly when it's weird.
It's more like it. So the person watches and sees that, oh, this is what this person says about, she also develops an opinion about what to use against her the next time she has an opportunity to. So for them, it's more like it's their life and the women thing for them. And I was glad that it came out that way, because why going into the show, I was also skeptical that, because it can't just be, let's just party. Would these women really get on their...
Would they step on each other's toes?
But luckily for us, things were just evolving and it was becoming...
They were not just stepping on each other's toes.
They were not just...
They were cutting the shoes.
They were... No.
But, I think... So for me, there's a... I don't know whether... Okay, let me just ask this straight. There's a point in Nigeria where some of us are lucky in the sense that by the time our generation goes away or our generation starts to retire from media, some of the younger generations will not have known the battles, the many battles that was fought to entrenched reality shows in our society, behind closed doors, behind the glass, the glitz, the glam, the drama that we see. That was the time a very prominent media person. I'm sure you know, because he passed through the same alma mater as us, as we passed through, said something. He said that reality shows should be banned. How did that make you feel? Or did you hear that time? And if you didn't, when you later heard, how did it make you feel? Especially from someone that in the last couple of years, I've survived, I've thrived on reality shows.
Well, for me, I wouldn't want to take that as something. I wouldn't pay so much attention to that, because one, it's a means of livelihood for some of us. Like for me, I've done reality shows. I've been part of reality shows for the past 10, 15 years. And within the 15 years, there's no year that I don't take part in one or two reality shows.
How long have you been married? I want to look for
I've been married for 16 years.
So a year after your marriage, reality shows was putting food on the table.
2 years after service. You know, served in 2004 to 2005. Came back to Lagos 2006. 2006, I started with Celebrity Takes Two. And that was the time that reality show picked up.
I remember. Spirit of David.
Spirit of David, Celebrity Takes Two. Celebrity Takes Two into Malta, Guinness, Straight Dance Africa, to the first seasons, 5 seasons of Nigerian Idols, to Peak Talent Show, to Project Fame,
to Northeast Quest,
to Big Brother, to Dance with Peter, to Real Housewife, to The Next Titan. So for me, I can say, let me sell my market here. I can say I'm the most experienced reality show content director / show director, because I've been part of the cooking reality show, business reality show, dance reality show, music reality show, lifestyle reality show. So, and these are the most prominent of them all. So I can categorically say that reality show has put, give me a,
has given me a living. So if someone says that this should be cancelled, it means that you are taking me...
You are saying you should be cancelled.
Yes. So you want to push me into another field that I now have to go and struggle. And it's not struggle.
It's asking to reset your
entire life. To reset my entire life. You know, even because for me, I know that I can't do reality show for the rest of my life because there are other interests. You know, drama is there, film is there, you know. But reality show has chosen me. Even when I want to move away, you just get one recommendation and you are back there. Mm-hmm. And because of the experience, you keep getting... That is the easiest form of engagement for me now because of the experience. So I can't say that kind of statements would be accepted by me and the likes of me that we've been making a living out of this. It's a show. It's a discipline. It's a profession. It's a part of the entertainment, you know, showbiz. So how would you say this should be cancelled? It can only be censors. And it is censors in Nigeria because Big Brother, we can't show the shower hours. Even when we see them, because we need to monitor everything.
You see the shower.
We see the shower in the MCR. You see you need to know where every person is at every given time. It's not for us to leverage on it, but to monitor their placement and
that means you cannot be a part of that show if you are not disciplined.
If you are not, you cannot. You know, you cannot be a part of that show if you are not. So you need to be disciplined. So for us, it's a livelihood. So you can't cancel it. You can't cancel it because it's us, not just for us, for the contestants.
It has changed lives.
It has changed lives. You know, these people come and the winner gets 20 million. The winner of the next Titan this last year got 20 million. Big Brother, 50 million. Some other, you know, so these guys, and there will be other consolation prizes. Their life change after the show. They are exposed. They can leverage on it and build a living out of that. You know, so some of them, majority of them become influencers due to their popularity through these shows.
And some have actually, some that never had, I remember that there was a time a lot of them were coming into Nollywood. Some have stayed, some have faded away. Some have gone into other businesses, but you at know, least it creates a chance for you to say, you've got a key to various doors. Which one do you want to open and start living again?
It's more like an institution. Like, if you are part of a Big Brother show, there's every likelihood that the moment you leave, you can never be broke again if you leverage on that opportunity. So it's more like you are going into an institution, you get a certificate, you come out, you are making a living out of it. That's where all the youths are. That's where everybody is trying to be on the show. Because you know that the time you are on the show, it's enough. Within 3 months, that popularity might take you years to, but within 3 months, you are in the faces of
people,
millions of people.
You know, some of us have been struggling with our Instagram
page. You understand?
And then somebody goes into Big Brother, 300,000 after 3 months. I went to Suru, don't bully us.
So please, you can't cancel reality shows. You can monitor the structure, but you can't cancel it for those reasons that we have mentioned.
I remember when I was speaking with someone, one of our ex-colleagues, I'm sure you know her. Yes, you've worked on the same project. Let me just keep her name safe. And she was telling me about a cameraman who reality show saved his, not just his relationship, but his marriage at the end of the day. Because it was a bloody cameraman, quote unquote. Cameraman, forgive me, there's this thing that there's a bloody cameraman. There's a way people tend to just look at cameramen like, bloody cameraman, you know. And the wife's family were like, she bloody cameraman, you look funny. But along the reality show came in, and first season was all right, second season he talked marriage, did everything. Woman is in his house, born all the picking they want to born, all from being a cameraman. And I would say this, and this should go out to anybody who cares. I think that to a large extent, we have been blindsided by religion to actually want to approve things and disapprove of things that we don't understand. If we can't get into understanding the fact that this is what this reality show is all about, if you are bold enough to have come to look at the show and pick things up to preach about it, that means the show got to you. If you know it's not morally okay, don't go there.
Yeah.
You understand? And I keep telling people, if your son or daughter goes into any of the reality shows that you have labeled, and comes back first, second, third, but definitely life-changing experience, and then comes back home, are you going to send the child and the money and the prices away?
Away.
Or are we going to see you come back and say, okay, this one is good because my family member won, so let's go back to condemning it next season?
You know, that's the reality of the life that we live. Because this is people's life, with or without the cameras. It just exposes us to the reality of life itself. That what people do in their closets, what people do in their world. And it's enlightening. You can say it's education in some sense.
People don't see it like that. One of the arguments that we get in town is, okay, which people don't understand, that the vulture goes where the buzz is. You understand? People don't understand it. Like, okay, they compare with mathematics prize and all of that prize. But have we done enough?
No, please, let's not do that. Let's not do that.
But the point is, the comparison is always like, but there's a media backing. People have turned it into a business, and this business has sustained other business, and this business has given people a means of livelihood. And thank God the decoders are there. You can block it out.
Before we wrap up, I want to briefly pivot into the other kinds of shows you have done, specifically talent shows. The Nigerian Idol, the ones where, you know, they come and then they just expose their horrible voices to the world, and, you know,
they will come and sing for you, don't worry.
Anyway, I've always been curious about how good are talent shows at identifying talent. I know it sounds like a stupid question, but the idea is that spectacle is important for a TV show, like a streaming audience or a TV audience, right? And so there will clearly be great artists, for example, that will fall through the cracks because their act is not immediately spectacular, right? It doesn't pop. And so a lot of them will fall through the cracks or maybe not even make it through the audition. So what are the pros and cons there for you? Is it more for entertainment or more for identify who really can sing?
Okay, so I'll speak on from a personal point of view and from a professional point of view. I'll pick it from the professional point of view. It is entertainment. Entertainment in the sense that it is entertainment and content viewership. Because someone has dropped money as sponsor, and this person or this corporation would like for this show to be entertaining for people to watch, to pull eyeballs. So first of all, it is entertainment using that format of talent, either singing, dancing, or acting. Now, how do you get the cast or the characters for the show? You need to audition. And in auditioning for it, you are looking for the best of amongst the rest. Now, you are looking for the best. Amongst this best, you still need to look for characters because it is entertainment. So these characters, just like you have the good, the bad, and the ugly. So that is why you will not just see the good voices. It's a mixture of even the horrible of the most horrible voices. Just so that you are also telling people that it's a bunch of good, bad, and the ugly. So that is creating the content for it. And creating the content for the show, that is why I said it goes a long way to putting all this, like DOE would say, put the sauce, the salt, every other thing to ensure, you know, to ensure that at the end of the day, it's a balance. If it's just good voices, it gets monotonous and boring at some stage. So it's a combination of, let's have a mixture of, even from the audition phase, let's have a mixture of the not so good, the bad, the horrible ones, and the good ones. And it gets to a stage whereby you now have the finalists, which is those ones that have been adjudged the gengen from the audition. You now put, those are the ones that you place on the main show. And even these ones too, they are a variety of styles. If it's music, you can't have everybody do R&B. There will be the reggae, there will be the guy who has the juju flair to it, there will be the guy who has the raga. So it's also a mixture of styles. It now depends on how these individuals are able to tap on their experiences on the show to build on that talent and to make the viewers fall in love with their personality and their talent. So like an Iyanya won Project Fame.
I think the first or second edition.
The first. And it did not
Project Fame Nigeria.
Nigeria. And it did not blow until 5 years after with Kurukere. You understand? So for some, do you know that Johnny Drill was part of his season of Project
Fame? I actually met somebody that they were on, she's in the UK now, that they were on the same project together.
And Johnny Drill didn't get to top six. Now, Johnny Drill is bigger than even the person that won that season.
Wait, Johnny Drill didn't get to top six?
He didn't get to top six. Now he's bigger. So for some, it's a growing process. It's an exposure for them to say, let me try, in as much as I want the prize money, let me try my talent amongst other talent to see how good I could be. So for Johnny Drew, maybe that was the experience for him.
And or the wake-up call for him.
Or a wake-up call, you know, for... But there must be something that you have for you to have made it into the show. It means that, okay, you can stand the test of time. You can also be regarded as a singer. So that's for singers. So you can't say that for them, it's just, let me just come and go. For them, they see it as a livelihood. For us, we see it as, let's make a show using this talent. And at the end of the day, whoever is favored by the judges, if they are voting in some cases, by the viewers' vote, gets to win. That's on the professional point approach to it. On a personal point of view, I would say that reality shows are the...
Talent reality shows.
Yes, talent reality shows. Talent reality shows are just to fulfill all righteousness. Fulfilling all righteousness is the fact that, from experience, nobody cares about their life after the show, the moment they won. Nobody is interested in, this talent has won this show, let's help them
to grow.
The moment you win, you are on your own. Go and manage your winnings. Go and become you.
It's very funny that this reality is eating me now, because when you look at it, Big Brother Nigeria winners tend to have that cult of followers, that following that extends years after. What's this lady's name? This most popular Titans, that had that Titans with her. You know, they're still there for her. But musical shows, I don't think, once it goes, it's just eating me now that after winning, Otoni.
You know, Big Brother has more viewership and more. Big Brother is more in our faces because it's 24 hours. And within those 72 days, Big Brother is everywhere, online, social media, 24 hours. So it's like pushing.
You're force fed with it.
But most of these reality shows are weekly episodes, weekly series. You come, they are no dailies. It was only Project Fame that did daily highlights of 30 minutes.
Yes.
And weekly nomination and presentation shows. So, even in the time of Project Fame, you can say that most of, I will give it to Ultima. Ultima tries to engage them, like, because the contract says that a year after you win, you still have a contract deal with them. So, but the moment that contract
ends,
nobody is interested.
On to the next one.
You think that the sponsor should be, this person should be our ambassador. The moment you win your season or you are done, you are left alone. It's now, and you can't blame them. For you to have won, it means that you have been given a platform to leverage on. So how do you manage this platform?
It's left to you. You have to go also.
It's left to you. But you can't leave them to it. It now depends on how you structure it. I stand to be corrected. I don't think that's how it is being done in the abroad. In the abroad, I want to believe that if you win like an idol, there is a structure for like maybe in the next 5 years, you might not get the winnings at once. It will be spread within those years in order for them to also help you grow with the winnings and with your fame. But if you are giving the whole thing, it means that you are left to do whatever you want to do with it. But it is spread within. It means that the next year, this is what you are doing. This is what you get. The following year,
They help, like you're saying, they help you plan out.
They help you to plan out to succeed.
How to invest it.
Yes.
But I don't know. Let's hope that's the way it is. And let's hope that at some point in time, reality shows will be like that in Nigeria. But knowing Nigerians, some people will be like, maybe Mowin no Womi, give me my money, let me go now.
If that's not in the contract, but if the contract says that if you win 100 million, you won't get it at once.
Spread it
over time. So it's still your money, but they are checking how you grow
checks
with it.
Balances.
Yeah. You can take it at once and go and buy a house in Banana Island, and that's the end of it. And
I buy the house. Watch, I left you down. And I said,
you know.
And I said, the house and come back to the trenches. We don't want you back in the trenches, Oga. Come and put people up again and move us out.
So how do people reach you?
Okay. I'll drop my number.
Sure. Why not?
Yeah, that's okay. You can reach me through this line 0038 38 8304.
Well, what about your social media, Andrew? You're not big. You're doing a reality show. You're not big on social media, right?
I'm not that big. I know you can follow me on Instagram, Jiali01.
Spell the Jiali, please.
JIALLI01. On Facebook is Jide Ali. Jide Ali, ALLI.
No, Mahmoud Ali.
Yeah, on Twitter, I think it's still Jide Ali.
You know, David. Why? I have a challenge, though. I think this cuts across both here and outside Nigeria. It's always very rare to find people who walk behind the scenes to be heavy on social media. I tried it for some time, but why is that?
Well, maybe I think it's a generational thing for me. I want to believe my generation is... I'm just trying to be... to take it serious too. Maybe because we didn't grow on social media. So now, we're not attached to it the way the Gen Zs are living their life on. I find it difficult to even snap and post when my job's on social media.
But Gen Zs post it
everywhere. Oh, you see them film all of this and they just throw it there. So I'm learning too, because these days I think that's what selling your markets by yourself.
Those things that we in my word, which my friend would be like Kelu Toshele, those things that we hold sacrosanct,
you know,
are no longer held sacrosanct.
Like, must I tell people I'm on this project? Must I tell them what I'm doing at every minute? And that is what is...
We are the Tishwe Nibata generation, you know.
Go here.
Half our budget. But this one, like, if you help me,
put
sauce and put anything for the world to know that it's smelling.
I show them how you're eating it.
You know. It's nice speaking with you.
That's well. Well, Jide Ali, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening. If you like what we're doing, please give us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to us right now. We would also like to hear from you. That is directly from you. Send us your thoughts, comments, suggestions, and questions at info@whatisnigeria.com. Also share, like, subscribe to the What Is Nigeria channel on YouTube. All the good stuff. We'll see you next time. Until then,
your village people will not catch you, and Nigeria will not end you.